Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds so that we clearly hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to look a little closer at that passage from Corinthians that we heard, that Paul wrote. It's probably a passage where we're reasonably familiar with, that we're the body of Christ, aren't we? And we each have different roles. I mean, I must admit, just now I really feel like a sandwich, but the analogy that Neil gave is an excellent one, isn't it? Together we are something more than what we are apart. When we bring in the different pieces, it becomes more. And I want us this morning to, as I said, to look a little closer at this passage. But we start with, this is the big surprise, we're not all the same. Look around. It may come to a surprise. We don't all look the same. We don't all sound the same. We are a variety of different people, aren't we? And our God likes it that way. He is our creator. There is a lot of difference amongst us, and that is a good thing. However, sometimes we fall into a bit of a trap where we want to be the same. We all want to, remember that kids game? Follow the leader? You know, where you all follow along and you're all doing the same thing. Sometimes I think we fall into a trap and thinking that's what church, that's what following Jesus is like. Yes, we should follow what Jesus is doing, but in follow the leader, we're often following the person in front of us, what they're doing, and we're all doing the same thing. So we are not all the same. That is one of the big points that Paul is making in this passage. You know, the foot's not the eye, etc. As parts of our body are different and have different abilities, so we as followers of Jesus are different and have different abilities. We have a God who loves variety. Now, we talked about this in Bible study last year, and I actually talked about it at the Christian school up the road about a year ago. If you don't know how much God likes differences, I present to you beetles. There are currently over 400,000 species of beetle. In fact, over a quarter of all known animal species, so we're ignoring plants and stuff, of all known animal species are beetles. God really likes beetles. There you go. You have a fact that you can take away. We don't know why God really likes beetles, but he obviously does. And here we can see, just in this glimpse of different types of beetles up on the screen, the variety that our God loves. Just as he creates each one of us different, so throughout creation. If you're growing plants, you look at the different flowers that come up, the different ways they come up. The closer you look at life all around you, the more variety you see. If you go back 100 years, you'll probably hear biologists talk about the simple cell, the things like amoebas, single-cell animals, that the cell, which is basically the building block of life, was very simple. As we have looked closer at it, as we study it, we find that it is a chemical engineering masterpiece. There are thousands and thousands of chemical operations occurring in each cell of your body, and you have so many cells in here. The closer we look at things, the more complexity, the more diversity we see in things. Our God is a creator who loves to create. They are masterpieces. You are a masterpiece. When you think of all your body parts, and that for some of us, as we get older and go through some rough patches, we may lose a few bits of our body parts. I don't have a gallbladder or an appendix. I'm still standing and working. We're so well designed, we can even miss a few bits and pieces and still work. It's not an ideal situation, but it's still how wonderful it all is. So, we as God's people, we as followers of Jesus, we should be looking at unity, not uniformity. There's a difference between the two. And I think we often get this confused. Several years ago up in Kalgoorlie, I was working with other churches. We had Will Graham, that's Billy Graham's grandson, who came to Kalgoorlie and did an event there. And the majority of the churches got together and supported in ways that they could. Not all of us could contribute in the same way. I couldn't be a counsellor because, as a Lutheran, I have slightly different understandings of some areas that they're strong on. They accepted those differences, and I did other jobs. But we had some visitors from other programs that people were running who came over to see how we did it. And he was very impressed that it wasn't just the Baptist and the Pentecostal churches all getting together. There were Lutherans, there were Anglicans, they were across the board. And he wanted to know what was the secret in getting all the churches to work together. He talked to our chairman, but as a Lutheran, me being a Lutheran, he wanted to talk to me as well. How do we get the liturgical churches involved? I'll tell you what the chairman of our group said in a moment. But as I was talking to him about the way we worked and the way, you know, we respected one another having different views, but at the same time, we acknowledged the diversity. We saw that there was different flavours in our worship. Not that our worship is right and what the Baptists are doing this morning is wrong, but they're different ways of worship. And whether through those the Holy Spirit may work and touch different people in different ways. Because people are different, and the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, he's allowed to work differently with different people. Don't put him in a box. And so talked about all this, and he's sitting listening to me, and he says, so what we've got to do, this was him repeating what I'd said to him, what we've got to do is we've got to all get on the same page. And I thought, depends on what you mean by being on the same page. Depends on what you, people talk unity, but they're not always meaning unity as I was just describing it. He basically said, once we get everybody speaking in tongues and coming to grips with the higher potential that the Spirit can do in them, then we can have us all working together. He sort of missed. Now, I'm not picking up speaking in tongues. It's a wonderful gift people have. As Paul said today, some have it. He also asked the question, do all have it? The implied answer of no. But he saw the solution was uniformity. Once we all became like his particular Pentecostal view of Christianity, then we can all work together. And when I started to question that, he said to me, so you're against unity, are you? It was just... So sometimes even if there's people you do want to work with, there's going to be barriers. I'm not trying to talk about something magic here. When he talked to our chairperson, he was the Church of Christ pastor in town, he said, what was the secret of getting pastors to work together? His answer was, have coffee together and do it frequently. That sounds like a good answer, isn't it? Get to know one another. a lot of those stereotypes, a lot of the barriers, and this doesn't just work amongst pastors. This works even, this of course works with people of different religions, different understandings. Share a cup of coffee together. Have a meal together. Get to know them. One of the things you see Jesus doing throughout his ministry is eating with people. Getting to know them. And you also see he's getting in trouble for that all the time too, isn't he? So can you see there the difference between unity and uniformity? Unity is finding ways we can work together. Uniformity is wanting everybody to be the same. Now, I'm not saying here that our differences don't matter. I come from a non-Lutheran background. I am very happy to be a Lutheran. I understand the differences, and I think the differences are important. But that's not a barrier to unity. We can disagree on some areas and work together because we have so much in common. So, wrong way. The other area is it's diversity, not division. We need to hear this message today because often in our media, often we may hear politicians and others saying, basically, that unless you fully agree with me, you hate me. Unless you fully accept my view, you hate my view. That's division, not diversity. We may have different views on things, and that is fine. That doesn't mean, of course, that we can't sit down and have a good natter about it. On Friday, Forrest, the Baptist pastor here in town, he's gotten back from having a few weeks holiday. He contacted me and said, would you like to come over for a cuppa and have a natter? And, normally, we plan to meet for an hour after 2 hours. he is a good friend. We have good conversations together. We don't agree on everything, but we enjoy investigating one another's views on those areas we disagree with. That's what this is about. Learning other people's viewpoints. Finding out what they're about. Now, one of the things I've found over the years is the more you do that, you will either find that your views are strengthened, as in they get honed, they get you know, you see the arguments against them and you find that they don't have a lot of weight. You hear other viewpoints and you still say, they have some good arguments, but I still think we have the better argument. That's all good. You may even, and as I said, I wasn't always a Lutheran, you may find that some of your understandings aren't as good as the other person's. And isn't that good too? If we're really after truth, if we say that our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, then surely we want to find truth. We will put our views out there and welcome a respectful challenge. So unity, not uniformity, diversity, not division. And this is not by ourselves. This is through the Spirit. That's what Paul talks about in here. How the parts of the body come together to be the body is through the Holy Spirit. That's how we work together. If we're trying to be uniform, then we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. If we're trying to destroy people, you know, if we're big on the division, if we become totally insane and decide we don't want farmers here, we will never do that. But it starts, you know, spreading ridiculous statements about farmers to try and... Now, you may say, oh, that would never happen. I must admit, I've been in churches where that sort of gossiping and negativity actually does start to happen. There's a part of the group that some people in the church don't want in the church. We don't want any of that. That's not what... In fact, that's one of the sort of problems Corinth was facing. This is what Paul is arguing against. We are members of the body of Christ. Now, as Paul is arguing that, he is pointing out that we're not the head. Who's the head? Jesus. He is the head. He is the brains. So we'll start off with none of us being the brains. That's probably a fair enough statement. But we work together. We serve Jesus better. We follow Jesus better together. Here's this sandwich analogy, this body analogy. We do things better together than by ourselves. The New Testament keeps talking about the followers of Jesus as church, as body, as the people of God. That's what we see in the Old Testament as well. It is not, and I'm not in any way denying, that God at times raises up individuals and does mighty things through individuals. But the vast majority of passages is talking to us as his church, as his body, as followers, rather than a follower. We work together because we strengthen one another. We can just do more together than alone. This leads to this. This is what it means to be the members of one body. One weeps, we all weep. We feel the pain others are going through. And the challenge in that is that we feel the pain of another, even if they made the mess themselves. Think about that. Yes, we weep when somebody is being persecuted for their love of Christ. Of course, our hearts go out to them. But does your heart go out for someone in the church who has got themselves in a horrible mess? Yes, they're part of our body. Once again, this is not condoning bad behaviour. It's not encouraging bad behaviour. It's, I know you're suffering and I'm hurting too. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. This is how a family works. When one is hurting, the family hurts. When one has a success, the family has a success. We as God's people, as followers of Jesus, we are brothers and sisters. This is what we should be feeling. This is how we should be treating one another. We groan together and we celebrate together. In our Romans Bible study, one of the things we've been looking at is this whole groaning concept. In the middle of Romans chapter 8, we see that all of creation groans, that there's that creation itself is damaged by our sin. And it's looking forward to what God is going to do through we, his people. And it's groaning as a woman in labour is groaning for it to be all over to get where we're headed. Creation groans that way. We see, as we continue in Romans, that when we don't know the right words to pray, the Spirit groans. And I think one of the things I've loved about this congregation and being involved is I've seen you groan together. In our prayer times, we've groaned with Malcolm and Ruth as what they've gone through. We've been groaning with Rhonda and her family as they go through what they go through. When we share our praise points, we celebrate together, don't we? Now, just because we are doing something doesn't mean we can't do it better or more. Just because you've shown kindness to someone doesn't mean you can't show more kindness. I think even in things that we as a church on the right track for doesn't mean we stop and say, look how good we are at this. We can do it even better. We can care for more people. We can find ways that we can love more, care more. Because no matter how much I show forth love to you guys, it doesn't scratch the surface of the amount of love God has shown to me. And I'll never catch up to that. But how about together we all give it a bit of a go, though? You know, give it a bit of a try. In Ephesians, Paul says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What joins us together is far greater than whatever may divide us. This is what we all have in common. This is what makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. It is all through what Jesus has done. We have all these ones because of our one Lord. Let us finish this morning with looking at this one verse from the passage that we heard read this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:26. It's probably a good one to remember. If one member suffers, all suffers. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. This is not something we can do in our own strength, but something we can do through the Holy Spirit. This is something we can do because of what Christ has first done for us. His life, death, and resurrection. As we focus on Jesus, this is how it should show forth. We weep together, we rejoice together, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.